And, you know, the Spanish thing will wear off probably in a week or two, so just bear with me today. Let's open our Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 8, beginning where we left off last week in verse 18. We'll be reading through verses 18 through 34. 18 through 34, the message this morning is entitled, Most Important is More Important Than Even Very Important. Most important is more important than even very important. Or as they say down south, muy importante. Let's look at verse 18. And when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave a command to depart to the other side. Then a certain scribe came to him and said, Teacher, I will go with you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Then another of his disciples said to him, Well, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, Follow me, and let the dead bury their own dead. Now when he got into a boat, his disciples followed him. Suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with the waves. But he was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we are perishing. And he said to them, Why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm, so that the men marveled, saying, Who can this be, that even the winds and the sea obey him? And when he had come to the other side, to the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two demon-possessed men coming out of the tombs, exceedingly fierce, so that no one could pass that way. And suddenly they cried out, saying, What have we to do with you, Jesus, you Son of God? I think that's how demons sound. I don't know. Have you come here to torment us before the time? Now a good way off from them, there was a herd of many swine feeding. So the demons begged him, saying, If you cast us out, permit us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said to them, Go. And so they went into the herd of swine, and suddenly the whole herd of swine ran violently down the steep place into the sea and perished in the water. Then those who kept them fled. They went into the city and told everything, including what had happened to the demon-possessed men. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they begged him to depart from their region. Again, most important is more important than even very important. Last week, we read about Jesus proving that he is the Messiah, the Savior of the world, by manifesting his power over the consequences of sin. Remember how Jesus healed a leper just by his word and by his touch. Jesus also healed a Roman centurion's servant who was paralyzed and severely tormented. Though that servant wasn't even there in Jesus' presence, Jesus merely spoke the word and that servant was miraculously healed. Jesus also healed Peter's mother-in-law, who was so grateful that she arose and began serving them. And that night, many were brought to Jesus with many maladies, sicknesses, diseases, and injuries even, and some that were tormented by demons, and Jesus healed them all. He was the most popular figure at that time, and there were many who wanted to get on the miraculous Messiah ministry bandwagon. But in verses 18 through 22, Jesus listened to their words, but he heard their hearts. Let's look at verse 18. And when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave a command to depart to the other side. Great multitudes had gathered to him. They were amazed by his teaching and by his power over the effects of sin. Back in Matthew 8, verse 16, we read, And when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed. And he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, He himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. By virtue of Jesus healing the people, he was declaring to the nation of Israel and to the world that he indeed is the promised Messiah. And so many people were gathered to him, but notice there in verse 18, Jesus then commanded to depart to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. which seems to, in my mind, be counterproductive. For what minister wouldn't long to be in Jesus' situation? People that were coming to him because they were amazed at his teaching. People that were gathered to him to be healed and touched by him. Man, it sounds like a great ministry. Sounds like the type of church I hope the Lord makes Calvary Chapel Bartlett. But notice that Jesus chose to leave all that because he knew that there were two men who desperately needed him in the worst sort of way. Later on, Jesus would verbalize this heart of his in going to minister to those who were really needy. In Matthew 18, verse 12, he says, "What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains and seek the one who is straying? And if he should find it, assuredly I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 who did not go astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." And so Jesus, willing to leave what seemed very successful in order to minister to those who were incredibly needy. Oh, I just marvel at the glorious compassion of our Lord Jesus Christ. His compassion, willing to leave that which is fine and okay in order to just go minister to a couple of people who are very, very needy. And maybe you feel all alone. Maybe you feel like you're on the other side and you're tormented by whatever it might be. Jesus is willing to step aside from the busyness of regular church activity in order to minister to just you. So Jesus gave the command to go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, but there were some who were caught up in the hype and they professed a desire to want to go with him. Verse 19, "Then a certain scribe came and said to him, 'Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. Where do you have 5-star hotel accommodations tonight? I'll follow you, whatever hotel, you know, 4-star and above, wherever you're leading.'" Now notice that it says in verse 19, this man was a scribe. Also in Scripture referred to sometimes as a lawyer. Now, not in the sense of our current legal structure, our trial attorneys. And I have a note in here, please refrain from lawyer jokes, so I will move on. This man, you probably have heard them all anyway, this man was not a lawyer in the trial sense, but was an expert in the law of Moses. Now, you and I, we might assume that with his biblical knowledge, this man would have been a great asset to Jesus' ministry team, which was mostly made up of fishermen and some tradesmen, just common, ordinary schmoes. And you'd think, well, this guy has Bible knowledge. Man, he'd be a great asset to the team, right? Well, Bible knowledge is very important. But without love for the Lord and love for the disciples and love for the lost, knowledge is at best useless and sometimes can even be very dangerous. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we read, "And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge," hey, I might be able to quote the whole Bible from heart. "And though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing." Now, Jesus knew this man's heart. He knew that he wasn't interested in being discipled. He wasn't interested in being taught. But what he was really interested in was, bottom line, some carnal comforts that he thought Jesus might have to offer. So he says, "I'll follow you wherever you go, Jesus. Lead on." Jesus listened to his words, but heard his heart. And notice in verse 20, Jesus said to him, "Well, foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Now, I want to make something very clear. Jesus wasn't denying this man salvation. He wasn't saying, "Nah, you can't be saved because you like creature comforts." No, it wasn't an issue of salvation. What was at stake here was whether or not this man was qualified for service. Was he ready to serve the Lord? You see, we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. Nor is there salvation in any other. It's a work of God's grace that saves us. He pricks our hearts. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And we are told, we read in the Word, that Jesus is the only way. Come to him and you'll be saved. If you reject him, you'll be cast into the lake of fire forever and ever. And so we ask, we receive by faith the grace of God and his salvation. Not by works. We don't do anything. We don't try to undo our bad deeds. We don't try to do good deeds that will more than outweigh our bad deeds. No. No, no, not at all. It's simply by faith in him. Then we are saved. So it's by grace. Serving the Lord, however, is another matter. It's another issue. And especially, by the way, in mission work, which this man was embarking, wanting to, in his mind, embark on a mission trip with Jesus. If a person isn't free in their hearts and minds to go on the mission field to serve the Lord, even in the church, if they still have strings attached to the world, then they're not ready to go. Jesus heard this man's heart saying to him, "Lord, I'll follow you if where you lead is comfortable." To which the Lord said, "Well, you know what? You better stay home, because I don't have, not even I, the Son of Man, the Messiah, the Savior, not even I have a place to stay. Where am I going to stay tonight? Out in the wilderness. What will my bed be? The ground. What will my pillow be? Maybe a rock. Maybe some clothing wadded up. We're going to rough it. And you're not ready for that, so why don't you just stay home?" You know, if you're considering going with us to Panama in June, let me warn you, you may need to prepare yourself for some rough conditions. Like maybe once or twice having to go potty in the bushes. Or maybe in some really stinky outhouse, which in Spanish we would say, mugroso baño. Mugroso, who knows what mugroso means? Stinky. Mugroso baño. Baño being the restroom or toilet. And we did. With joy, Gary and I used the mugroso baño. Happy to do so. Glad that there was a place. And let me also say, if your family's not doing well, either get it together or don't go. Because as the Bible says, how can you minister to the household of God if your own house isn't in order? Because Satan can really use that to throw off the work of God. Satan will use whatever he can, sin, bitterness, anger, resentment. And so may the Lord deal with our hearts and prepare us that we might be clean and free to go. Unlike this man who's just interested in creature comfort. Where do I plug in my hair dryer? You know, well, I'll go as long as I can have a hot shower. Gary and I stayed in a place with a pastor who does not have hot water in his shower. It's one nozzle, one knob, and out comes cold water. Oh, maybe it's not slurpy cold, you know, like ice cubes and all, but it's still chilly, and the moment you first get under, it's like, it takes your breath away, and then you get used to it. And we took a couple of showers a day. You know, we may, though, have some places where we don't shower for a day or two. Can you handle it? Can you deal with it? You know, Jesus says, hey, if you want to follow me, I make no guarantees of creature comforts. No guarantees. But he does say, great will be your reward in heaven. Great will be your reward in heaven. Another disciple, verse 21, said to him, "Lord, yeah, I'll go with you, but let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Hey, follow me. Let the dead bury their own dead." Really? Wow, that sounds awful cold, doesn't it? That sounds very, very cold, Jesus' response to this man whose father just died. Poor man. Ah, you know what? Forget the funeral. Let's go. If that were the case, then Jesus' response would have been very, very cold. But such was not the case. For if that man's father had died, that man would already be there in the process of burying him. See, in the Middle Eastern culture, even today, especially back then, somebody dies today, they're buried today. And so if the man's father had died, he would have been in the process of burying that man already. What this man was really asking for was more time to spend with his family until his father died. And there's also the insinuation that if I'm not there at that time, maybe the inheritance will go to my brother or somebody else, and I won't be there to receive it. So, Lord, I'll go, but let me first wait. His father could have been in the picture of health at that time. He might have had a good 10, 20 years left. But let me first. Lord, I want to make sure that my situation, my family situation is just right. You know, God help us to not allow our family situations to get in the way of what we need to do. To not allow even our families, our wives, our husbands, our children, and their issues to get in the way of us serving the Lord. Gang, how much time do we have left on this earth? I don't think much time at all. I think it's Jesus told us to be watchful and waiting for his return. He told us to be ready at a moment's notice. Do we have years to plan for? No, we don't. Today is the day. You might say, well, I don't know much. It doesn't matter how much we know. What do you know? What do you know? Well, I need to go to Bible college, don't I? No, you don't. I need to go to seminary. No, you don't. I need to go to training. I need to have a piece of paper. Fine. If that's your attitude, I will today give you a piece of paper, and it says ready. There you go. Ready. Go. You know, maybe the word go also. What do you know? You know that Jesus loves you, right? There's a blood-stained cross and an empty tomb to prove that point. You know that we're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. You can tell somebody that, can't you? Hey, believe in Jesus and you'll be saved. That's all you need to know. Go out and tell them. Don't wait. Too much waiting going on. Go out and tell them. This man was asking for more time for family, for himself and his dad and all. And then he would be free from family ties to go and serve the Lord, which Jesus said was unacceptable to him. Unacceptable. Again, his response in verse 22, but Jesus said to him, follow me. Let the dead bury their own dead. In other words, the focus should not be on the family, but on serving the Lord. It should be on serving the Lord, even if it means leaving family and friends to do so. Even if it means suffering and possibly death in order to do so, as was in the case of many missionaries, even today, missionaries being martyred all around the world. And there's one several years ago, a man by the name of Jim Elliot, who gave his life for the cause of Christ on the mission field. On February 21st, 1952, Jim Elliot and a small group of missionaries arrived in the country of Ecuador with the purpose of evangelizing Ecuador's Wayodani Indian tribe. They were called by others in their native tongue, Auca, which means savage. And they were a savage, savage people. After a few attempts in trying to reach these people, a suspicious group of 10 Wayodani warriors approached Jim Elliot and four others and then murdered them. Now, Mr. Elliot had always known that his efforts would be dangerous. And on October 28th, 1949, he wrote in his journal his belief that what he was doing would not only be very dangerous, but should he be called upon by God to suffer the ultimate sacrifice, he realized that he would gain so much. In his words, he said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep, in his case, his life, to gain that which he cannot lose, which meant reward in heaven. Blessed are you when you are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Even if it means you tell your family, hey, we're going, you need to follow and trust Jesus because it's worth it. It is worth it. Jesus does not guarantee comfort and safety to anyone who wants to serve him. But he does guarantee that their retirement will be out of this world. Now, if you do come with us to Panama in June with a servant's heart, with a servant's heart, I guarantee you only one thing, and it's this: great will be reward in heaven. And very likely, we may also enjoy the best steak you've ever eaten in your life. Amen, Gary? Yeah. At Leños y Carbón, what was the dish we had twice? Lomito Tierna. It was awesome. So anyway, throw that out there. Yeah, but that's like the first guy, the creature comforts. Where are you leading me, Lord? To a great restaurant? Okay. Now, Luke's gospel also records these two men, and then also he adds that there was a third man who came to Jesus just before he departed to the other side. And in Luke's gospel, chapter 9, beginning with verse 61, we read about this third man. And another also said, "Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house." And Jesus answered and said to him, "No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." A farmer who looks back, if he's plowing, is going to make crooked rows. He needs to keep his eyes straight ahead so that his rows will be straight. A person who wants to serve the Lord, but they're constantly looking back at, oh, what could have been, and oh, if I just kept that career, I would have made more money than I'm making now. And oh, my family, if I had just, and I'm missing out, and not fit for the kingdom of God. You see, this man and the man previously both said what the problem many times is. You know, the man said, "Let me wait till, you know, my father's dead." And this man, you know, "Let me first go and bid them farewell." The problem was, "Let me first. Me first. Me, Lord. Okay, I'll do it if I." Same problem also the rich young ruler had. That me first attitude. And all who have that me first attitude are disqualified from serving the Lord, especially on the mission field. Now again, this isn't an issue of salvation. This is an issue of service. Those who are qualified to serve the Lord must deny that me first attitude. Now, let me also say what these men wanted were good things. You know, time with family, that's a good thing. Let's make no mistake about it. You know, a nice place to sleep at night, that's a good thing. That's fine. I really enjoyed my own bed last night. But those things aren't the best thing. And the best thing is following the Lord and serving Him wherever He may lead. It is most important to do what is most important, even if it means denying what is even very important. In verses 23 through 27, Jesus calms the storms on the sea and in the disciples' hearts. Now again, in verse 18, Jesus gave the command to depart and go to the other side. In Mark's gospel, he says, "Let us now go to the other side." And by the way, when Jesus says, "We're going to the other side," guess what's going to happen? You're going to the other side. You will make it to the other side, regardless of what storms may arise in the middle. If Jesus says you're going to the other side, you're going to get there. And if the disciples would have just remembered that, it would have sure helped them to not be so fearful in the middle. Now, when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea so that the boat was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Mark's gospel adds he was asleep in the stern, which is the back of the ship, I'm told by our Navy personnel here, a stern on a pillow. It wasn't comfortable, by the way. He did have a pillow to lay his head. But it was in the back of a small wooden boat that was being rocked, and waves were swamping in. Jesus was getting very wet, but he remained asleep. He was so tired physically, he was able to sleep in an uncomfortable situation, in uncomfortable surroundings. Don't be surprised if you give your life to serve the Lord, that there may be times where you just have moments of sheer exhaustion. You're able to sleep anywhere. I remember a couple of years ago, a connecting flight in Chicago's O'Hare Airport, a three-hour delay, and I laid down on concrete and was able to fall asleep. Or even yesterday, I noticed Gary sitting up in those really comfortable airplane chairs, you know, crammed there in coach, and he was able to fall asleep. That's not unusual. Oh, well, I'm just saying, you know. Okay. Yeah. Gary, I'm talking to you. Gary. No. Just, you know, serving the Lord, you may have moments where you go, and all of a sudden you stop and you collapse. So Jesus was sleeping. What were the disciples doing? Panicking. And by the way, many of those who were panicking, do you know what they had done for a living all their lives? Fished on the Sea of Galilee. They were expert fishermen and expert shipmen. And even they realized their situation was dire. But they forgot. They forgot one little thing. Jesus had said what? Let us go to the other side. So the disciples came to him, verse 25, awoke him saying, Lord, save us, we are perishing. Mark also adds that they accused Jesus of not even caring. They woke him and said, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Don't you even care? Lord, my situation is so bad. Don't you care? I'm going down. God, I'm going to drown in this problem. Don't you care? Hey, problem isn't that God doesn't care. The problem is we've forgotten. We've forgotten that the Lord promised to get us to the other side. Jesus said to them, Why are you fearful, O you of little faith? And he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, Who can this be, that even the winds and the sea obey him? What did Jesus say were their problems? There were two of them. Number one, little faith. They had the promise they were going to the other side, but yet now they doubted that promise. That's faith. That's little faith when we doubt the promises of God. When we trust the promises of God, that's great faith. The other problem was, who can this be? They didn't know who Jesus really was. They'd seen his miracles, but yet they weren't convinced that he is the Messiah, the God of the universe. And all who don't know Jesus personally for who he is, those who don't know him for whom Jesus knows himself to be, will also panic when they find themselves being rocked by the storms of life. And then the last few verses, verses 28 through 34, Jesus tames the untamable. Jesus tames the untamable. Having calmed the storm in the sea, Jesus then brought peace to two tormented souls. Verse 28, when he had come to the other side of the country of the Gergesenes, also called to the region of the Gadarenes, there met him two demon-possessed men coming out of the tombs. Now just try to picture their poor, pitiful state, their poor condition. Where do they live? Among the tombs, dead people. And they were exceedingly fierce, so the demons in them caused them to have the supernatural, superhuman strength and fierceness, so that no one could pass that way without fear of being injured or even killed. And suddenly they cried out, saying, What have we to do with you, Jesus, you Son of God? Hey, they knew who he was. Have you come here to torment us before the time? Mark adds that they were unrestrainable, for they often broke the bands and the chains which people tried to hold them with. Now, how did they become demon-possessed? I don't know. I have no idea. But one thing is clear in this story. We see that the devil is mean and he is vicious. And he wants to possess people to make them mean and vicious people. Another thing is also clear. Jesus is all compassionate. He left a successful ministry just to minister to these two men. And also, he's all-powerful. He was able to cast out these demons with just his word. It's all it took. So, have you come to torment us before the time? Demons know they're going to be tormented. You know what? All those who reject Jesus as their Savior and Lord will likewise be tormented. There is the warning. Now, here is the invitation. Come to Jesus today that you might escape the wrath to come. And if you don't know how can I come to Jesus? How can I be saved? After the closing song, come forward. People will be here to pray with you. Now, verse 30, a good way off from them, there was a herd of many swine feeding. So the demons begged him, saying, Well, if you cast us out, permit us to go away into the herd of swine. herd of swine. You know swiners, right? Pigs. Question, is there a problem with pig farming in Israel? Is that a problem? There was an illegal industry, black market industry. Some Jews eating bacon. That's a no-no. I remember one Jewish man held with tongs a piece of bacon, and he said, "Free bacon, a Jewish dilemma." He said it. I thought that was very, very interesting. So he said to them, "Okay, go." Just one word, go. "We want to go into the pigs. Can we go into the pigs?" "Yeah, go." So when they come out, they went into the herd of swine. And suddenly the whole herd of swine ran violently down the steep place into the sea and perished in the water. Jesus got rid of an illegal industry. Man, I'd love to say to the demons, go into the herd of pornographers. Go into the herd of drug dealers. Go in the herd of the immoral. And let them just go. I would rather, though, say, "Lord, save them. Deliver them. May they repent and become a testimony, a trophy of your grace." So these pigs perish in the water. Two things. Pigs would rather be dead than demon-possessed. They'd rather be dead than demon-possessed. And also, this is the first recorded instance of deviled ham. I refuse to eat the stuff. And by the way, we don't call them deviled eggs. We call them angeled eggs because I like those. Anyway. Verse 33. "Then those who kept them fled, and they went away into the city and told everything, including what had happened to the demon-possessed men." Yeah, these guys are delivered. They're now clothed. They are sane. They're not vicious. They're normal. "And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. When they saw him, they begged him to depart from their region." Wow, we see the miracle you did, and these men who were fierce and were hurting us as we passed by. "Please leave. Please go away." How sad. Those people loved their pigs more than those two men. But this is the way of the world. People love their filthy money more than these suffering men. People love their dirty pigs more than hurting people. Ultimately, they love their stinky swine over the sweet Savior. Can you believe they begged Jesus to leave? That's amazing. Now, both Mark and Luke, they both record more about this event, but when we get to that point in Mark and Luke, we'll discuss it. But there are several points that we can glean from these events. And there are five in particular I'd like us to pray about this morning. Prayer point number one, may God deliver us from any me-first mindset. God set us free from any me-first mindset. Number two, to do what's most important, even if it means denying what is very important. To do what's most important, even if it means denying what is very important. Number three, may we trust Jesus' word so that we won't panic when violent storms of life arise. Trust his word, regardless of what we see, that we walk by faith, not by sight. Number four, may we increase our faith by personally knowing who Jesus really is. They didn't just have a great teacher and a miracle worker asleep in the boat. They had the very God of the universe in the boat with them. What did they need to fear? So they got a little wet. They all needed a bath anyway. May we increase our faith by personally knowing who Jesus really is. And finally, may we care more about hurting people than filthy lucre. Care more about people than about money. Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we pray that as others are coming forward, and I ask those who are to pray for us, please come forward now. Lord, as these that are coming forward to lead us in praying over these points, I pray, God, that you would cause your word, these points that your word is leading us to pray about, Lord, that this would become so real to us, so important to us, most important. And Lord, you would convict our hearts about where we might be at odds with you in any of these areas. And Lord, we'd be willing to change. Again, Lord, it's not a salvation issue. This is a service issue. Lord, help us to be fit for service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so again, the prayer points.